My guest today on the program is here by kind of a circuitous route. We talk a lot about using Web 2.0 tools in the federal government and on this show and on the other shows on Federal News Radio. And some of the issues that the federal government has with Web 2.0 are some of the same issues that private companies have and organizations have in trying to use these tools and trying to figure out who else is using these tools. Federal News Radio happens to be the radio home of the Washington Capitals hockey team. The Capitals have been recognized around the sports world as being one of the preeminent teams in using Web 2.0 tools to build a fan base, communicate with that fan base, drive loyalty, and ultimately put people in the stands and ring the cash register. And that is their mission. And so I thought it might be an interesting discussion to talk to Sean Parker, the director of new media for the Washington Capitals, about how Web 2.0 and social networking and some of the other forms of new media help his organization meet their mission. Thank you very much for coming in, Sean. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm a big, big hockey fan. We talked about it a little bit before we went on the air, but I want to focus this discussion primarily on what you do to, as I said, help the team meet their mission, which in this case is to build a loyal core of fans who not only love the team, but ultimately buy the gear and buy the tickets.
Yep. Well, if you want to start, like, just diving right in.
Yeah.
We started a few years ago with YouTube and Facebook, and we had some videos that we wanted to put up on YouTube, and so we started putting them up there. And a lot of people may, you know, think, okay, there's not, you know, you had your own media player. Why are you putting it on YouTube? Mm-hmm. And it was more of a brand extension, and we were trying to reach people that you just would never reach. They would never see your site. They would mm-hmm. never come there. They would never see the in-game videos that you had. And so we started putting a lot of content on there. Right about that same time, I was talking with one of the other guys, and he was a little bit younger, and we had opted to stay away from MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
MySpace was just, it was overly crowded. The noise to, you know, the signal noise ratio was just non-existent.
Yeah.
It was just all noise. So, Facebook at that time had just opened up its gates.
Yes.
So it was no longer a gated community for college and high school kids. It was now open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So we had one of our interns create a Facebook page for us, and we didn't really promote it too much. We just invited a couple people, and they invited a couple people, and it kind of gathered, you know, the Rolling Stone kind of metaphor of moss and went downhill, and didn't go downhill. And
but the momentum drove really quickly for you, didn't it?
Exactly. And now we have so many friends, we've actually maxed out our friends on Facebook, and we've had to start a Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're allowed 5,000 friends on Facebook, and so now we have 5,000 friends on our Facebook page, and then we're going to, or we've created a Facebook group,
uh-huh.
and that's growing by leaps and bounds as well. And then we've created a second Facebook group just to address fans and upcoming events for our Capitals Report podcast.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about what having a Facebook presence means as far as you being able to disseminate information, and then a little bit too about if it creates a two-way conversation, how it does that.
It does actually create a two-way conversation. Going back to your first point about how we reach out to fans, and it's one way to reach out to, yes, the demographics show that Facebook skews to a younger audience. We know that it skews that way,
mm-hmm.
and that's an audience that we know that we can grow over time. Right now, they might not have the disposable income to, you know, get tickets, especially now with the season going as well as it is, and ticket prices being what they are.
Mm.
But at some point, they will have more disposable income, and they will become ticket buying fans that we want.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we can always put out new news. We can put out, we have, you know, a Flickr image site of the day or image of the day that we always, post on Flickr, and then, you know, Flickr ties into Facebook, so we have it on there. We used to do some videos on Animato, which is one of these mixing kind of You take still images, you throw in some music, and it automatically mixes it for you. It makes a 30-second video, and we can post that on Facebook. And it's just a way of providing a brand extension, if you will, to our fans, to let them see what's going on. And we had Student Rush, you know, one of our more successful programs for ticketing, and we've used Facebook as a way once or twice to say, hey, there's a special Student Rush, come over here and get these tickets.
And you're already you're reaching people both who are already predisposed to want to get your information, and you're also reaching people who may or may not be interested, and you're able to qualify them and find out whether they can become one of these people who are predisposed to receiving your information. They're there because they want to be there. Is that right?
Right. And we have, for our Facebook page, you're not allowed to see our profile until you become one of our friends. We now have a waiting list for friends of over, you know, 2,000 or more than 2,000 Facebook users. And we, like I said, the special offers for tickets were only put on Facebook. They weren't put anywhere else. So we knew that fans could go there, see the Facebook offer, and that they were predisposed to buying it because they had become our friend.
And that becomes a way for you also to quantify the effectiveness that some of these channels have of getting information out to people, because if that information is available to X number of people and X times 50% take you up on that offer, that turns out to be a pretty effective way of knowing that people are actually paying attention to what you're sending. Because that seems to be one of the things, whenever I have a discussion about this with somebody in the federal government, it a lot of times turns into, we put this information out there, we know we have this many subscribers, or we know we have this many friends or followers or whatever, but we don't know how many people are actually paying attention when we throw something out there.
Well, that goes to the second part of your first question with the how do you see a two-way dialogue? And one of the things that we watched with either ticket offers or extensions out to Facebook groups or the Facebook fans, we saw that a lot of people would write on our wall, oh, this is a great offer, but I already have tickets for tonight.
Yeah.
So we saw and we continue to see dialogue back, like, you know, that was a great game, or that was not such a great game, or why do we have this guy? Why didn't we get this guy? What happened at the trade deadline? So fans talk to each other on our wall, and, you know, we'll post new stuff on our wall, and we've taken that not from Facebook into other areas as well, like Twitter, which is now kind of the omnipresent social media network that everybody seems to be going to, and LinkedIn as well. And we've even extended LinkedIn to bring people into games, business professionals into games, to have a kind of a you know, an informal networking group and talk with them.
I want to go back for a minute. You mentioned two sites that don't get as much play anymore in the Web 2.0 world because people are so focused on Facebook and Twitter, especially Twitter, as you said. That's kind of the hot site of the week, so to speak, the flavor of the day. Flickr is the photo site where you can post photos and collect them into albums, and there's a number of different ways you can organize them. And the other one is YouTube, and YouTube is almost passé in some ways of thinking, especially among some people. But those two are terrific sites, aren't they, as you were saying, about extending your brand. Talk a little bit about the kind of people that you are reaching or that you think you're reaching and drawing into your other means of communication through those sites, because, as you said, those are people who find you there who would never think to come to WashingtonCaps.com.
Exactly. And they're, you know, there are people who may not have access to a game here. They may be anywhere around the world. I mean, we know from our podcast statistics that we see, you know, world visitors coming from all over the world. We have listeners in, you know, as far away as Australia and Venezuela. So it's kind of interesting to see But those are the types of people that will be hitting on YouTube, the people that might not be able to see a game live, that are craving any bit of content.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube is takes video content and puts it down to a format that almost any computer can use. So if somebody has, I mean, you know, even the iPhone can stream YouTube stuff.
Yeah.
So if you, you know, if you're looking at our site, you may not be able to handle the video requirements that we have, that we have to put up for the league.
Mm-hmm.
But with YouTube, it's anybody. It's, you know, it's that kind of common denominator that anybody can go and see videos on YouTube, and they'll be, you know, they'll be happy to watch stuff on there. And then Flickr is a little bit, there's a little, another plan with Flickr,
mm-hmm.
for us anyway. Not only do we want to reach people and show our brand and show how an exciting a game is, because most of the pictures that we put up there are action photos.
Uh-huh.
But we want, on the back end, we want people who do searches for Washington Capitals to, have stuff come up on the side, because there's, well, Flickr's actually a Yahoo property, so the Yahoo ads will come up on the side rail.
Mm-hmm.
But they're similar to Google AdSense. And if you search for, you know, the Washington Capitals, you'll see that there's, you know, 10,000 pieces of content or whatever. And, but along the side, the little ads, you'll see either ticket brokers or our tickets or, clothing or stuff that's associated with the team that we want to sell.
Yeah, this is cool. I did what you suggested, and I'm on Flickr, and I typed in Washington Capitals, and you're right. I'm seeing on the side here the ads for tickets and so forth, but some great pictures. Here's some of yours, and then there's a number of fan shots that different fans have put up. I looking at it now, I get it. It wasn't sinking in, but I certainly see now anybody, and then of course the things are tagged, and so if somebody does a search on one of your players or does a search on just about any way that these things are tagged, these things are going to pop up.
Exactly, and we hope that with Flickr that also encourages our fans to put up more photos of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more content that we have and the more people are searching for Washington Capitals or Capitals players, you will see, you know, more of those things come up on the side, more of those ads come up on the side, or more relevant ads come up on the side. And then you'll also see the content, which the fans want, and people generally go to those sorts of sites, whether it's Flickr or YouTube, to see. They don't, unless they're looking for a particular ad for something,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to YouTube to see it.
They're
going to see your content.
Sean Parker is the director of new media for the Washington Capitals. My guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We're talking about some Web 2.0 best practices and ways that the team is drawing new people to hear their message and to help them fulfill their mission. And we'll continue our conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Sean Parker, Capitals Director of New Media, and we're talking about how the Washington Capitals use new media and, in particular, Web 2.0 tools to meet their mission and to get their message out to the people who they want to get it out to, and some good best practices that we've talked about already. Sean, I appreciate you being here today.
Certainly.
One of the things that we were talking about just before the break, and it's a natural fit for what agencies are trying to do, is education. And I want you to talk a little bit more about the way, because you were saying we get questions from people through the website, and then we address those questions in the podcast, in one of the podcasts you do. How many do you do exactly?
We, let's see. I'm trying to think now, because we've added a few over the years. Our main one is Capitals Report. It's an hour long every Wednesday. We also do Precap, which is a pregame audio-only podcast at 2 p.m. before every home game and every weekday away game. We just don't come in on the weekend. So. and then we do another one called Two Man Advantage, which is from the press box, and it's at 5:45 before every home game, and it's a nice little 15-minute show where we interview a guest from the press box talking about the upcoming game. We look at Coach Boudreaux's 5 o'clock. Press conference, and then we cut to Mike and Brett talking about the goaltending situation. And each of those shows is live. None mm-hmm. of them are pre-recorded. So it adds a little bit of a dynamic element to it. For Capitals Report and Precap, we take both AOL IMs and emails mm-hmm. to our email accounts. And we often get those emails prior to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people have gotten used to like asking about particular games for Precap, and then certainly asking the broader kind of question for Capitals Report. And it's great to have these questions come in. As I said before, you know, that's how we found out some, you know, we have a regular listener, in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple in Germany. Like I said, we had we have a listener in Australia. It's just, you know, more than one actually a listener mm-hmm. in Australia and South America, which was kind of shocking to me.
It seems to me that one advantage you have is you have your audience telling you what they want you to do for them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're telling you, this is the information that I need back from you. And that, again, a terrific tie-in because the agencies have just volumes and volumes and volumes of information to put out there. And it can be pretty challenging to try to figure out where do we go next. And with these avenues of information, with all these channels that people can get a hold of you and say, this is what I would like to have back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because it does tell, you know, you can see the questions and which way they go, and, you know, they're not necessarily hardcore questions for, you know, only hardcore hockey fans.
Right.
Some of them are just basic questions about what does this mean? I always hear, like, the other day we had somebody asked, what does game in hand mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it's not a silly question at all. That term is used a lot, and people might not know it. And because the Caps have been doing so well, we've escalated our audience, and we're now educating our audience as to what certain terms mean. They mm-hmm. may have come, you know, they may be football fans or baseball fans and never took the time to look at hockey. Now that the Caps are winning, they look at hockey, and they don't know all the terminology.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talked to them about that, and, well, I don't, but Mike and Brett do,
uh-huh.
and explain, you know, different things and why we're doing things a certain way, and they break it down, and they're really, really good about how they break it down, and they keep it simple and straightforward, and, you know, try to answer the question directly, and then use historical analysis as well to break down the question. So if somebody says, oh, well, we had this, this, or this, and Mike and Brett can go, well, if you look back at this series here, what happened, and, you know, Mike is just phenomenal with all these stats, and he can just spew stats that most of us forget, you know, in 10 seconds, and he knows for 10 years. So
you can slice these questions and as either as finely or as broadly as is appropriate, depending on who's asking and what they're asking and how much you've covered this particular subject in the past and so on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What has been your biggest surprise as you've been pushing all this information out there, making it so widely available? A lot of people have a fear of control. We're going to put all this stuff out there and we're not going to really have any control over what people do with it. Have you run into any big surprises or challenges with just pushing stuff out the door as much as you have?
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest surprise, that we haven't had a huge issue with brand management, to use that term. I think that a lot of people, like you said, are afraid to lose control, and I was certainly one of them a few years ago when Web 2.0, you know, started to break ground, and I was like, well, if we put this out here, isn't this going to be an issue, and what's this, and what are people going to say about, you know, if we do this or that. And you can manage your brand, but you can never really control. People are going to see, people make your brand, so they're never going to see you know, your brand the exact same way that you do. So they, you just have to put it out there, and put the information, the voice that you want out there,
mm-hmm.
so that you do have an official voice. For instance, Twitter. You know, a lot of people are using Twitter now for just about anything. And somebody asked us the other day in a meeting. Actually, it was one of my interns. She, you know, she's in sports management program at Georgetown, and she was asking us, "Well, how many voices do you guys have?" And we say, "Well, we all consider it one voice. I mean, there may be like five people talking about it, but we consider it one voice because mm-hmm. we have, I don't want to say the official party line, but it's, we just know what we can put out there and what we can't put out there. And so that's the way that we deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is we go, okay, well, we have this information that we can put out there. And that, I would say that that's probably the best way to control it, is that you don't put out stuff that you don't want known. I mean, you know.
Well, and I think another thing, if we're learning anything from this revolution in information, it's that a lot of times the person who gets the information out there first is the person who kind of controls the way that the information is then distributed. It's the people who hang on, because people are going to find
yeah.
out anything pretty much regardless. Somebody will leak it somewhere. And so do you want it out there framed in a way that is... that agrees with what your organization thinks yeah. the message should be, or do you want it the way that some guy who finds it out from some guy who finds it out from some guy decides he wants to frame it?
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. And we put out that information. I mean, we run into this problem all the time with injuries. We can put out an official report, put out what our general manager wants us to say. And then if a reporter walks into the locker room and sees something, he can write, he or she can write whatever they want to about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, there are, like I said, you can manage your brand.
Yeah.
You can't ever actually control how people are going to perceive it.
Yeah, and that's a good example, because the reporter's going to write it whether you want him to or not. And so the fact that you at least have a voice in that discussion about what's wrong with player X, that's a real good example for the kind of information that agencies want to put out, because a lot of times there'll be some detractor over here saying, well, I bet the real reason they're doing it is blah, 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 blah. And at least they're participating in that conversation.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you being here to talk
sure.
to me about these things. Sean Parker is the director of new media for the Washington Capitals. You're on tomorrow night on Federal News Radio 1500 AM against New York, and we're not that far from playoff hockey, are we?
A couple days away, or a couple weeks, I guess. Tomorrow night we play the Islanders, Friday Buffalo, and then Sunday at 3 is our final home game against Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
And that's our fan appreciation night. And then we have 3 games on the road, all against Southeast Division rivals. And the last one is, you know, against somebody who's trying to get into the playoffs, Florida. So it should be a tough game. All these games are going to be fun, because these guys, you know, Islanders are near the bottom of the standings, and they want to play spoiler.
They just stink. They're
yeah.
just hideous. Islanders tomorrow night and Buffalo on Friday night, you said?
Yes.
Both at 6:50 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Sean, thanks again for being here today.
Sure,
We're grateful to have you.